Paul a rabbit with fleas? Oh, maybe I didn't read it. What do you call a rabbit with fleas? This is the calendar. This isn't my jokes. We haven't, and since it's Father's Day, we'll open up the database of jokes for Father's Day. But anyhow, this one is, what do you call a rabbit with fleas? Come on, guys. You grew up with this. Bugs Bunny. There you go. Bugs Bunny. Okay. All right. So now it's my database. What kind of test do you give on Father's Day? A pop quiz. Okay, that's a dad one. And then what is the best grade a father can get on a report card? A daddy. Okay. Yeah, that's right. And that was self-created on that one. Okay, I created that one. Because I loved always with my kids. Yeah. You know when you walk, your kids are young, you come into the house, and when they're young, they're always like, Daddy! And they come and see you and give you a big hug. And as they grow up, you come in, they don't even know you're there anymore. It's like, hey, Dad, I need 10 bucks. I'm like, that's what you get. But the old daddy was always a good one. So, what do you call a father who always performs chores? A doodad. A doodad? Okay. All right. Yeah. So that's kind of my jokes for this morning. But Father's Day, it's always a great time to remember your father. And if you're a father, your kids and people say Happy Father's Day. And it's just a fun day. But they say it by far Father's Day compared to Mother's Day on things purchased. You know, when you follow the economy and follow, it's like dads get nothing. There's women, wives, moms. It's like all about the mom, but dads are like, yeah, okay. Here's a thing of fries, Dad, or you get like, you know, whatever. I don't even know. But so anyhow, we're continuing down Hebrews 11. So as I said, I love this message today. Just because of what God kind of showed me right this week, and I was thinking about it. So the message today is called Faith Over. Okay, so we're looking at Hebrews 11, verse 28. We're going to kind of open up and look at that. And once again, with Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, it starts with Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. That's the definition of faith. That's where we're concentrating on that the last couple of weeks. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. I just pray that the Spirit will speak to all of us here on this verse, on this story of Moses and the impact that you had on this world, and just show us, speak to us this morning on this one verse. But the story is just so incredible, Lord. We thank you for that. Speak to us. Amen. All right. Hebrews 11, verse 28 starts off and says, 11:28, that is correct. It says, by faith, talking about Moses, you remember, so last week we talked about Moses, and if you were here or not, we talked about Moses of his faith training, right? How he came, how he chose faith, how he was trained in faith, and how we saw that develop from Moses, how he was trained up into this faith. Now we're looking at this faith over that happens, and it's kind of like, and Stan, I thought we were talking about you this week, because I told the girls, I was like, I just love this, I'm going to call it faith over, because I see this, and they're like, well, is that scriptural? Stan's going to say, I don't see that in scripture. I said, I thought that right away when I thought about the word faith over, because it's not in scripture, right? And I just thought my mind went right to Stan, because he's like, and I love that when people pull out, well, Jeff, I don't see that in scripture, because then we talk about it, right? But so this whole example here is this faith over example. So Hebrews 11:28 says this, by faith, okay, so Moses, by faith, being sure of what he hoped for and certain of what he did not see, that's faith. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Does that bother? It doesn't bother me. We can keep that rolling. I kind of like that feel, you know? Yeah, it keeps everybody awake. All right. So that, this is what the Lord showed me. Cause how many times when we think about the story of Moses and we looked at Moses last week, and once again, Moses, he was a very dark complected, and we've set in the picture, a dark complected Hebrew man that fit into the whole Egyptian society. So he was a black man. Right? And he fit right in to the Egyptian culture. He was raised in that Egyptian culture. So that's the picture that we have to have of Moses. Moses was this guy, and then we know that he then fled, and we know that then God got, he was trained in what God wanted him to do. And so now we come to Moses, and at this verse in Hebrews 11, Moses is called out about keeping this Passover. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. And many, many times, when you hear about the story of Moses, it was always my thought. Like, God gave Moses this job to do. And it wasn't like this, it could have been this like really easy job, right? So the Israelites were stuck into slavery for 400 plus years, and God could have just went to Pharaoh and said, hey, let the people go. But no, it wasn't that. It was just not let the people go. It just wasn't Moses rolling in there and saying, hey, this is what we're going to do. And Pharaoh letting the people go. But God said, Moses, this is what you're going to do. And then God says, we'll look at this in Exodus, that God says, and I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. And I was always like, God, why are you making this so difficult? Did you ever wonder that? Like, why are you making this so difficult? Like, you could have just taken the Israelites and let them go. But no, it's like, Moses, this is what you're going to do. And he calls them out to this job. And Moses is upheld here in Hebrews 11 for this faith of the Passover. And now remind you, right? The Passover. What do the Hebrew people, the Israelis, still constantly, for generations, for centuries, have always what? What do they uphold for their ordinances and their time of remembrance every year? The Passover, right? Even at the time if we look at Jesus and the disciples, what was going on at the time of Jesus before his death? The Passover. We're coming together for the Passover. The Passover. Like this Passover has been talked about and generated, and it all started because God said, hey, we're going to get these people out. And it started with this Passover. But the Hebrew people, the Israelite people, when they were in Egypt, they didn't have faith. Scripture talks that they were faithless people. So they were slaves. And they had no faith. So what happened that they got this, all of a sudden this faith to follow God, and all of a sudden they have this faith to, for generations as people to hold this Passover for generations and generations and generations and passing it on, that they had a faith over. So that's when you think of Passover, think of a faith over, because that is exactly what God's plan was. God works in faith, doesn't he? We can mumble and complain and this is, but God works in faith. This whole chapter is based on faith. And here we see Moses as he's upheld for this Passover. So. And if you look at Exodus 6, this story of this, how this kind of began. So the Israelite people were crying out to God because why? Because they were imprisoned. They were slaves and they had to do all this harsh labor and toiled and they were brutalized and they were crying out to God. Let's go to Exodus chapter 6, starting in verse 3. It jumps over and says they in verse 4, I also established my covenant. Okay. Moreover, verse 5, moreover, I've heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Okay, so that whole Exodus 6, starting in verse 2. God said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. So that's how he appeared. But the Israelites now, as they're enslaved, that's how they knew God. They knew God of the God of their fathers. But they didn't really understand God. They didn't know the full power of God. And God says that. Moses said, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites. So that God tells Moses that he didn't fully tell them who he was. Now, as we roll into this part of Moses going to the Israelites in slavery, this moment right here is where God comes out and shows the people of Israel who I am, that I am the Lord. Because at this point, the Israelites knew God. They knew that he showed himself to the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they didn't fully understand God's power and him as Lord until this time in history where the Israelite people were crying out and they had no faith. They were crying out but had no faith. Exodus chapter 6, verse 9, it shows that where they had no faith, where Moses tells God, he's like, well, you know, if I go to these people, what if they don't believe me? And this is what verse 9 says. Moses reported this, what God told him to do to the Israelites. And it says, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. Another translation says they did not listen to Moses. Why? Because they had no faith on what God could do. They never saw God work. They've been entrusted they've been enslaved. They've been discouraged. For 400 plus years, generation after generation after generation, they were enslaved. Imagine that. Like, so I've lived 50 plus years. Imagine since I was 10, getting up every day of my entire life and going to have to cut stones and move sand. As a slave, and seeing that that's what my dad did, and that's what my grandfather, seeing that's what his grandfather did. So think about that. How many years of slavery, and they were stuck in this bondage of this slavery. And they're crying out, and then finally God hears their cry, and God pulls Moses up and says, Moses, this is what you're gonna do. And as we talked about Moses and all this information is in Exodus 6, 7, up through like chapter 12. So Moses comes in and says, God, and we talked about this, where Moses, his faith had to be trained and lifted up, and then all of a sudden he goes to the Israelites and says, this is what God tells me to do. And they said, Moses, you're crazy. We don't believe that. You're nuts. We've never seen God work. We don't have faith in God. We don't believe it. And then God says, this is why God hardened Pharaoh's heart. The why. Why did he do it? In Exodus 12, I keep going back and forth. Exodus 10, 1 and 2. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his officials so that I may perform these miraculous signs of mine among them, that you may tell your children and grandchildren how I dealt harshly with the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. So this whole thing about Pharaoh's heart being hardened was to supply this faith to the Hebrew people so that they could understand how powerful God was. And we know about the plagues, right? So we know about all these plagues. You think about that. So God tells Moses, well, hey, if they don't believe you, go to Pharaoh, throw your staff down. So he goes, throws the staff down, and Pharaoh has all his magicians, and they throw their staff down. They all become snakes. And we so no, and then it goes on with the plagues after Moses' staff swallowed up all their snakes, but they still didn't believe. But who started to watch this? Because think about it. Remember, this is ancient Egypt. People weren't sitting in their cities in their comfortable air-conditioned hotel rooms or houses. They weren't sitting by the Nile watching the boats go up and down with water skiers and having like entertainment, right? That's not happening. What was going on here? So everything that happened, this was the talk of the day in all of Egypt. That's what was being spoken about. That's what was being taught. Every new plague affected everybody, the Israelites and the Egyptians, and then some of them not the Israelites, but they all affected the Egyptians. So the plagues? Just to call them out, the blood of the Nile. So the Nile was turned to blood. Well, do you think everybody that lived in Egypt looked at that and saw it? Absolutely. The talk of the town was, did you see what this God of Moses did to the Nile? Pharaoh's heart was hardened. What happened to Israelites? A faith began to build. The next one, frogs. And all of these plagues were also lined up against the gods of Egypt, that God was, using this example that he was more powerful from their gods. The frogs, same thing. Imagine going out and all of a sudden you go out on the street and the place was covered with frogs. Frogs everywhere. The whole town talked about these frogs. And then what happened? They said, the Israelites said, well, Moses said God was going to bring these frogs. And guess what? There's all these frogs. Wow. Maybe what Moses is saying, this faith that Moses has, because Moses now is trusted in this faith. Now the Israelites are beginning to see and understand a faith in God, of what God can do in his power. So then get these frogs out of here. And Moses said, okay, they'll be dead tomorrow. And guess what? Boom. The whole town's talking about the next day or whenever they were going to die. All the frogs were dead. Moses said that the frogs were going to die. And he goes to God. And God says, okay, they're dead. And they make these piles in the city of these dead, stinking frogs. And they stank throughout the whole place. So then it goes, and it goes to the gnats. And then he's like, hey, okay, you're not going to let the people go? Guess what? We're going to have gnats all over the place. And he threw up some dust in there, and all of a sudden became gnats. And guess what the Israeli people talked about? They said, do you hear what Moses did? He went before Pharaoh, and he said, now God's going to bring gnats. And guess what happened? Next day, boom, there's gnats. Huh, wow, look what God can do. And this faith being built. And then you go, there's 10 of these, so you've got to deal with me for 10 plagues. Then they say, well, okay, still don't let my people go. Why? Because God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Why? To promote himself to the Israel people so that they could see, so the Israel people could see who God was. And to teach that to generations. That's the purpose. So then you get these flies. Flies all over the place. They said that everything was covered with flies. Flies everywhere. And guess what? The talk of the town. The Israeli people were saying, Moses, who said God was going to do this, guess what? He talked about these flies, and now there's flies everywhere. We can't get away from these flies. And you know what flies do? They leave maggots, and they make more flies, and they're all over everything, and they go on the animal dung, and they get food. So it's like you just got flies everywhere. God said that he was going to do this. Moses just said this is what God was going to do. And once again, Pharaoh's heart hardened, and he says, death of all the livestock. And guess what happened? Death of the livestock. The Egyptian livestock were, the firstborn were killed. And guess what? The Israelis were sitting in their camps because they're obviously on this other side of town. They weren't on this side of the street, right? They were on this side of the street. And the whole people of Israel were talking about, do you see what's happening? Moses told Pharaoh this was going to happen, that God said this was going to happen. And guess what happened? Oh, wow. Look what God can do. And they're watching this throughout their weeks and months. And once again, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Then we go to, there's boils. All of a sudden there's boils now. And guess what? The whole place is talking about. Do you see our slave master? He's covered with boils. They can't even put us out into the field. Our slave, the masters, because they're covered with boils. God said he was going to, Moses said God was going to bring the boils. And guess what? Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And guess what happened to Israel? Their faith was being built, right? Continuing to be built. This leading up to this Passover, their faith of who their God is was continuing to be built. Then it goes on and says, the fire and hail destroyed crops. And guess what? The Israeli people, they were slaves. They probably planted most of it, right? So they're out there planting. They knew the seasons of the crops. And all of a sudden, boom, the crops are all gone. Hail and fire. Why? Moses said, God is going to bring this plague if you don't let the people go. And once again, Pharaoh said, nope, not doing it. And the why? So God could say, look, Israel, I am the Lord. I am the God of power. I am the Lord. And then once again, Moses goes and says, okay, Pharaoh, your heart's still hardened. Let the people go. And they're like, I'm not letting the people go. I need my slaves. Okay, then we're going to bring the plague of darkness. And this darkness fell over the earth for days. And the Israeli people were like, look what's going on. And once again, their faith is now they're watching God. Their faith from a faithless people not listening to Moses. Do you think after some time you would start like, listening to Moses? After the frogs, I would have been like, dude, I believe it, right? But this is it. So keep going on. So now the darkness comes and it passes. And they said, did you see what happened? Like Moses told Pharaoh that God was going to do this. And that Passover, and it came, that plague of darkness. And then the death, come to the death of the firstborn. The Passover. And God tells Moses, this is what you're going to do. And Moses now goes to the Israeli people, goes to the Israelites. When he went to the Israelites before, it said they didn't believe him. No, we don't believe you, Moses. You're a nut job, right? We know who you are. You killed this guy when you were here under Pharaoh's, you know, and you left, and we don't trust you. We don't have faith in God. We don't believe it. That's what we originally saw. Then after all these plagues, all this stuff going on, Exodus talks about this belief now that they have. And in Exodus chapter 12, Exodus, I'm going to start in 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his officials. I think we already read all that. And then I may perform these miraculous signs of mine among them, that they may tell their children, their grandchildren, how I dealt harshly with them. And we went through all that on the plagues. Where am I? 12. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals of your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood, into the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and both sides of the door. This is what we know as the Passover, right? This is what he was telling them to do. And it starts in in chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this is the month before you, the first month, the first month of your year. Tell your whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share it. So now they're sharing together, right? They're going into this Passover sharing, what they still do today. And they must share with one their nearest neighbor, having taken into the account the number of people that there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed according to each person. The animals you choose must be a year old males without defect. And you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take them until the 14th day of the month, and they go on through. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides of the doors and the door frames of the house where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire. Do not eat the meat raw, it goes on to say. Do not leave any of it till morning, it goes on to say. On that same night, in verse 12, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both man and animal, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Do you think at this point, after 9 plagues, do you think they would listen? Would you have listened, Esther? You would have been at the frogs, right? Right. So it's like, so then they finally understand, and they watch this powerful God that they have heard about. But God didn't fully show himself to them up until this point. Why? Because God remembered the covenant that he had with Abraham. And he hears these people crying out. And then he comes and says, I remember my promise to Abraham. They're crying out. But they don't have faith. Because what are we to have? What did I say that we started this whole premise down? Hebrews 11 really was, and I said it was for me. I was selfish. I did it for me. Because I wanted to understand faith better. because I heard a preacher say that God's language is what? Is faith. And that's what it is. It's faith. And these people now, they just didn't have a little faith. Dude, they just saw these miraculous signs. And now they know what Moses is saying, that when this spirit comes and these people are going to die. And now all of a sudden, what we know is the Passover, which was a Passover. Sorry, Stan, you have to deal with this word. The faith over. Okay. It's a faith over because they had no faith. And then all of a sudden, now you're seeing the Israeli people, their faith in action. And they go out. What do? They get the lamb. They kill it and they roast it just like God says. We don't want any problems with God. Oh my goodness. Do you see his power? And what do? They all go out. The whole slew of the Israeli people in their section of town. And what do? They kill the lamb. They put the blood on the door and they said, I'm staying in here because we know what's coming tonight. They didn't have a doubt. No doubt. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for. That's where they were. They had this faith now of we're God's people. Look what God can do. And their whole worldview of who God was and what God can do was changed forever. Right? Because we know what happened on Passover. We know that the Pharaoh then, when all the firstborn of livestock and the families of Israel, of Egyptian people, and the wailing and crying throughout the streets were heard from these dead people. And there's Israel tucked away in their houses because their faith was in action. Like they now applied this faith into action, and that faith is what saved them because they followed God. And if there would have been an Israeli family, just because you're Israel, who cares? But if they didn't have the faith to put the blood on the door, do you think they would have lived? Nope. Dead. That was the call. That was God's call. And they listened. They obeyed. They stepped out in faith. So that was this action plan of faith. They stepped out, and that's what they did. Changed them forever. And now we have the Passover. That Passover that continues to this day. And just side note on that is God also provided for them that the Israeli people then went and asked the Egyptians. They plundered them, right? They went and asked, hey, can we have your silver and gold? Like they had to go ask for that because God was going to provide that. Hey, God's providing for them. And it said, ask for their silver and gold. They're going to give it to you. And they did. And so they two action plans now from no faith to this full amount of faith. That's where they are. That's where these guys end up. My question today. Where's our faith? This was a collective faith by a group of people, a nation like in slavery, that rose up in faith and God worked mightily to bring out these people for generations that they are his people and we're grafted into the Israeli people, right? It's not the other way around. We're grafted into the Israel people through Jesus, not the other way around. And full faith in Jesus, full faith in God, full faith in the power, what God can do. My question, us, for me, and as a church. And after we pray here, we're going to pray together. What is my faith? What's your faith? What's our family's faith? What's our church faith? Do we have a faith? As a church, so this is collectively. We saw what happened collectively as people with the faith that they marched forward in this faith. My prayer is us as a church, we're going to grab upon this faith. I know there's many faithful people in here, right? You've been here for decades. And there's many faithful people here. Now I want to say, as a unified group, as a church, we're going to move together in this a faith process in prayer. And we're beginning for all of us to pray in one faithful motion. This collective prayer of faith. If God is the same God as he was at the beginning of time, he still uses his faith. He still uses this. And we're dropping the ball because we're not faithful enough to really believe it. Right? Let's pray, and I'm going to shut my mic off, and then we're going to go over what I want to do. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for showing this example of this faith that you brought upon Moses and you brought upon the Israeli people, of this faith that is so huge, Lord, that they turned from these people that knew who you were but didn't have faith in you to a people that walked in faith. And yeah, we know they had problems, just like everybody has problems. But they picked up this faith, and they walked forward and they trusted you, Lord. And we see by what you show us in Scripture that there is an example of when people move together in faith and trust you, that you are faithful. You take care of us. You help us. You are there for us, just like you gave us the salvation of your Son. Lord, I thank you for this example. Help us to get a little bit of touch of that faith as a church. That little bit of touch of faith. Help us to speak your language, not like the verbiage of the banging on a gong type of stuff, but just of this language of faith, that we can be an effective people, an effective church in faith. Lord, I pray for that. In your name we pray. Amen. So